Double fries, no slaw. It's preview time, Richie. We play Boston College, hopefully, Saturday at noon. Got a lot of worry about that. Got a lot of questions about the Storm. But before we get into that, the Noles are 2-0, up to number 3 in the country since our last recording. Feels good to be back on top. How you doing, Richie? How's your week going?
Good. You know, second week on the new job, and it's, you know, starting to slow down a little bit. But, yeah, it feels good to see that number 3 next to Florida State's name every time you see them on ESPN or you pull up an app, whatever it may be. And Boston College, man, we're going to preview this game, but I don't know what to say about this team because I have been far from impressed on what these guys can do. And who knows, maybe Hurricane Lee is their biggest asset this week. We'll dive into it in a little bit.
It's interesting for sure because you don't want to overlook people, right? And you don't want to just completely discard a team. But this team is terrible. And I went through some scenarios. We'll talk about the weather. It looks like things are kind of trending back positively there. But I went over some scenarios. I went over some things. And you know, I was like, oh, you can move the game to this day, or you can move it to this city, or you could move it to this other weekend. And nothing was good for Boston College. I think there's a chance that Southern Miss would be favored against Boston College. It would at least be very close. What's the line right now? Like 25, 26?
26 line, and a half, yeah.
Yeah, the line in Doak, so 6 points more, was 31. So Vegas essentially sees both of these teams as very, very close. From a spread perspective, and I don't know, you'd hope that Boston College could beat Southern Miss, but I know they're better than I would think. Southern Miss is better than Holy Cross, so we'll get into all that here in just a moment. If you're watching, if you're live with us, hit that thumbs up, hit the like button. Double Fries, No Slaw, brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. Hey, we are 10 days away from our tailgate in Clemson. If you are coming to the Clemson game, make sure you get your tailgate tickets there in the description. It's through Eventbrite. Guthrie's will be out there. I know we're all pissed off about the noon kickoff, but we'll have chicken and grits in the morning. It'll be great. Beer, mimosas, Bloody Marys, whatever you want, and then we'll do bourbon and cigars after we get the win. So come by the tailgate. If you haven't got your tickets, go ahead and grab those now. So, all right, Richie, 2-0, heading into this BC game. Are you concerned at all about a slow start? A little bit of a slow start in the LSU game. A little bit of a slow start against Southern Miss. Had to go forward on fourth down a lot to kind of get what we wanted done. Are you worried at all about the Noles kind of starting slow in the first couple of games?
Yes and no. You know, obviously, surprised you got away with it against LSU because the defense kind of bailed you out. I do think Florida State beats LSU regardless, even if they go up and take a 14-point lead. You know, this offense is built to overcome things like that. It was concerning to me against Southern Miss, and if it happens again against Boston College, if there's decent weather, right? If it's the, you know, like the 2007 game when Florida State went and just ripped the Heisman Trophy right out of Matt Ryan's arms, you know, okay, it is what it is at that point. But I feel a little less confidence going into Clemson. I still think we beat them. But, yeah, you know, it's interesting because, like you mentioned, 66 points last week, but a lot of fourth down conversions. You're not going to convert all of those against really good teams. So the slow start's slightly concerning, but I don't want to call it a trend just yet. That's why I wish we had perfect weather this week and Florida State could go to the second quarter up 21-3 or whatever it may be and say, okay, we got that out of our system. We're good now. So yes and no, I guess. I don't really have a great way of answering it. Do they concern you at all, TJ?
You know, I think against LSU, it's your first I don't know. I'm not trying to make excuses for everything, but it's your first time being out there on the field. You're playing a top five opponent. You're not in your hometown. You're playing on a Sunday night, which is a little bit different. So here I go making like 1,400 excuses for the team starting slow. But I feel like you can kind of overlook that. And then even against Southern Miss, you're playing in a game where there's a lot of emotion. You've just come off of a very big win. It's a short week. I don't know. I mean, I'm making all these excuses, and you can probably make these same excuses for the weather and the hurricane and everything else that's going on this week. Oh, well, it's your first ACC game, this, that, and the other. But, you know, to the Noles' credit, I mean, they've started somewhat slow on somewhat slow on offense, the defense hasn't. The defense has done a really good job of being there and showing up and showing out the whole time. So I don't think I'm that nervous on the slow starts. I just got your text. What's up? What am I missing?
So not related to Florida State, but somewhat, Rhode Island at Maine, scheduled for Saturday, has just been moved to Friday night. So I don't know what that means. I know we're going to talk weather in a little bit. Maybe we want to jump into that right now. But, you know, very close geographically to Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. I just saw on Twitter the equipment truck is on its way to Chestnut Hill right now. So who knows what's going to happen there. But I just thought it was interesting that game. Obviously, TV networks don't care a fraction of what they care about this Florida State game, even being against Boston College, but moving that game from Saturday to Friday, I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if it'll affect us or not, but definitely something to keep an eye on. It's close enough and it does look like Maine's going to take a pretty direct hit. And so, yeah, we'll talk weather here in a minute. Let's let some people get in here and we'll kind of go to that. So we're not concerned with the slow starts. We talked about this a little bit on Sunday. I made him the thumbnail because I'm a big believer, but Johnny Wilson, a little bit of the yips. What are your thoughts here? Okay, I'll give you mine first. I went back and watched a lot, and I think a lot of it is the ground kind of forcing it. And some of it's on him, don't get me wrong, but it's bad, but it's not as bad as I originally thought watching it live time. It felt like live time, everything that was getting thrown his way was like, that's hitting the ground. Some of them were the ground. One was a little bit behind him. One was a nice play by a defender. And then he had some that he certainly kind of maybe overcompensated or tried a little too hard with, which is probably a product of some of the other ones that have hit the ground. But how concerned are you there? How do you rate that?
Yeah, and to your point, TJ, it wasn't just Johnny against Southern Miss, right? There were several receivers, you know, Jaheim Bell, and others that kind of struggled a little bit. I do think, and it's crazy to say in the year of 2023, but SMU has a better secondary than LSU had when we played them. And I don't think that's up for debate, to be honest, at least when you look at those two games alone. But those drops can, you know, like the LSU game, when it came on, you know, was it third and five and it would have been an easy first down. You cannot have those drive killers. I definitely think it's mental. From all accounts, in fall camp, he was really good until about a week heading up to the game. But with him, it's weird because he's done this in the past and then just completely turned around and had like three dominant games in a row. So it's something to keep an eye on. I think it's you just have to expect that with Johnny, that, you know, he's going to drop an easy one here or there. But he's also going to make a one-handed catch in the Camping World Stadium against Oklahoma to set up the game-winning score. That's just what you're going to have. You'd like to see him clean it up a little bit. And if you're going to have a game like that, have it against the Southern Miss where you win 66-13 or whatever it was. Catch the ball against Clemson. Might look like you need to catch the ball against Miami. You could probably drop a few against them and still be fine. But, you know, once you get to that playoff, which now is my expectation, TJ, I don't know if we didn't even have resetting expectations in the outline today, but my original expectation heading into the season was Charlotte or bust. I think I'm now on the playoff or bust train, and you're going to need Johnny Wilson to be more reliable than he's been so far. And I think he can get there because he's showing it during pockets of time during his career at Florida State.
Yeah, I think you'd be pretty disappointed if you didn't make the playoff at this point. I'm probably right there with you. I think that, you know, at this point, once you get in that top three and Florida State, barring something crazy, is going to be favored in every game that they play throughout the rest of the year, including Clemson, I think. I don't even know if that's going to be a sod game, Richie. You know, I think
the
that,
sod. Take the sod, though. Regard, I don't care what Vegas I think it's,
okay, we got to make a – we got to do a debate on this next week. I think it's more disrespectful to not make it a sod game.
Yeah?
I think it's kind of – I think it's a little bit like, not a sod game. I don't know, pee on the side or something.
Make it a rock game. Make it a rock game. Yeah. And just steal the rock.
Yeah, chip off a little piece of that rock. So anyway, I don't know. I think that you're going to be favored in every game that you play throughout the rest of the year. Yeah. I think you're gonna be pretty upset if you don't make it to Charlotte and beyond. You know, and so yeah, I'm kind of in agreement with you. We certainly, you know, based on the way you've looked through 2 weeks, based on the way Clemson's looked, you know, I think that you really need to make the playoff at this point. All right, defensive backs, and we'll get a little bit more into Boston College specifically. Pat Surtain, the cornerbacks, I want to give Pat Surtain some credit, but I also want to say Jarian Jones is a kid that continued to improve year after year after year. Even 2021, he had some nice plays, but he really has gotten better and better and better. And last year he was improved. All of the talk this offseason and this spring was that he was much, much improved, and he really does seem to be showing that. He's the highest rated PFF cornerback in the country right now, essentially cornerback one out there. And Florida State going out and getting Cypress, but also getting Jarian Jones and Rodo Green to be true elite corners has really taken this defense to another level. You know what you've got there at defensive line. You're really comfortable with your linebackers, but man, Jones and some of those guys in the secondary have really taken the defense to a completely different level.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what they were missing. You know, granted, last year you had really good personnel on the defensive line, but half the guys were never healthy. So, you know, that kind of hurt your back end a little bit. But, yeah, Pat Surtain, I mean, hats off to that man, because Jarian Jones, we thought he'd be solid. I did not think he was going to be elite, like nationally elite, and he has been through 2 weeks. And that's something to be excited about if you're a Florida State fan, because now you have three corners who could start and be CB1 almost anywhere in the country, in Renardo Fentrell as well as Jarian. And it's just exciting. And was that the missing piece to a Charles Kelly defense? Because all the hype this offseason was on the offense. How good are we going to be on offense? We're going to name our score on whoever we play, right? The defense just had to be okay. Well, the defense is more than just okay through 2 weeks. They seem really, really good. And if they end up being a top 15 defense, yeah, we are going to the playoff, you know, barring injuries or anything crazy happening. And through 2 weeks, I'm really excited. You know, we'll see what happens as the season goes on. And I'm not sure how many great offenses you're really going to play. I do think Miami has a really good offensive line, and Tyler Van Dyke finally looks like that NFL prospect we saw 2 years ago. So that could potentially be a challenge, but I don't see Miami scoring more than 24, 28 points on Florida State, and Florida State's going to score a hell of a lot more than that on them. I mean, they just gave up 33 points to Texas A&M. I know they're celebrating that game, but A&M has two games where they scored over 30 points in their past 10 against the FBS. They regularly score in the teens and the 20s, and they kind of did what they wanted against Miami. So, yeah, I'd like every matchup left on the schedule, and a lot of it is because of the improvement this defense has made year over year after year. And as the personnel's gotten better, the defense has gotten a lot better, and I'm excited to see what happens with Adam Fuller's unit the rest of the way.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Boston College. Florida State, like you just said, 26-point favorite. There's some question on how and if and when this game will be played. Richie, I'm going to throw something up on the screen. I don't know if you can see it or not. I'll shoot it. Can you see that? I'll shoot it to you in a text just in case you can't on here. But okay, this is the projection for where the Storm will be at 8 a.m. on Saturday. So to me, you know, seeing this now, I saw that the projections were kind of moving it a little bit more east. I don't know, man. That's right on top of Boston on that front wall of that storm. Richie, that text come through. I think it's moving quickly enough to where it would be out of there, but man, I don't know how you play a football game right after that. Harlan, if you can get rid of that for me. I wanted to throw that up and show it really quickly, but yeah, that's something there for sure. We'll see if the game ends up getting played. I think you'd have to get a decision fairly quickly. If something was announced tonight or in the morning, you could get the guys together and you could leave Thursday to be able to play Friday night. In an ideal world, I think you try and move that game as early Friday night as possible, but it's probably going to be a 7 o'clock type thing. And then you try and get out of town as quickly as you can before the storm really rolls in. So I don't know that I was feeling good about it until I just saw that latest projection. I stole that off of Sinone's Twitter, but I'm pretty sure he just stole it from somebody else anyway. So I'll give him a little hat tip there. But yeah, not necessarily looking great, but also not looking great is the team that we're supposed to play against this weekend. And BC just really now like stinks. Like nearly lost to Holy Cross. They really don't have a lot of. I just don't think they have enough talent to really compete. They're certainly one of the worst teams in the conference. They really struggle. And they're a full on rebuild, right? They're a rebuild from the bottom up. Lost their quarterback to Pitt, who we'll see later in the year. But man, on a I hate to keep saying this, but I said it last week with Southern Miss. I've said it on other stuff. I think you could probably go in and play like a C type game and win this game by, you know, 10 or 15 points. You know, if you play B type game, you're probably going to win by 20 plus. And if you play an A plus game, I think you win by 30. You know, you're just that much better than this team. You know, it is on the road. It is the Red Bandana game. There is a hurricane coming. So there are some like extenuating circumstances that could maybe trip you up, maybe slow you down, but you know, you hate to just take opponents so lightly, but this is Florida State. This is what you're supposed to do. I'm not worried about BC at all. If that gets Ole Miss exposed, if that gets clipped later, then whatever. But Richie, I'm not concerned about this team one bit. Hurricane maybe, travel maybe, moving the game time around maybe, but that's about it.
Yeah, this BC team held on for dear life just to escape a very narrow 3-point win over Holy Cross. The week before that, they lost to Northern Illinois in overtime. What did Northern Illinois do last week? They played Southern Miss and scored 11 points in a loss. Like, it's a little early in the season to even consider, you know, throwing out the transitive property when it comes to college football, even at the very end of the season, throw that transitive theory away. But I think it holds weight here. This is a bad, bad Boston College team. They just don't have the horses. Like you said, it's a full-on rebuild, and that's okay because we've been there. It wasn't long ago Florida State went 3-6 and dodged a bullet in playing Clemson in Florida. That would have certainly been a 3-8 campaign. And if the Virginia game, the other game that got canceled, you're 3-9 most likely. So we've been there not too long ago, but what Mike Norvell's done in the transfer portal and recruiting and the development of these players, you know, Florida State played 102 players last week, you know, and I think if the weather were decent, you'd see something very similar this week against Boston College. And I think Mike Norvell pulls the starters even sooner against BC, given what you have next week at noon up in Death Valley Junior. I'm excited about this. You know, this storm is the only wrinkle. That's the story. When a potential hurricane is the number one storyline, you know, if a hurricane was heading toward South Carolina next week, yeah, we'd be talking about it, but we'd have a lot more to say about Clemson and the matchup and everything that goes on with that. This is just a bad Boston College team. I don't know where they win in many games. They're not beating Louisville. They're not beating Virginia. Army, maybe. I just see maybe two wins on their schedule the rest of the way. You know, this is a bad team, TJ, and Florida State should roll them no matter what the weather looks like or where this game is played, if it is played at all.
No, I mean, you even look at some of their out-of-conference stuff. I think UConn beats them.
Yeah.
You know, some of their easier – Virginia Tech is a winnable game, I think. Syracuse is a winnable game.
Not for BC.
On the road. Yeah, it's just not very promising for them. They're not very good. Thomas Castellanos, their quarterback, is 30 for 51 on the young season, 58.8% completion percentage. He's got four touchdowns and a pick. He's been pretty inconsistent. His QBR is down there in the 30s. He is very athletic. He also leads the team in rushing. He's got 136 yards on 25 carries. It's a little over 5 yards an attempt. Also has a touchdown on the ground. Had a better game against Holy Cross than he did first week against Northern Illinois, but still consider that opponent, and he wasn't phenomenal there. They've got a couple wide receivers that all kind of get mixed in. Jaden Williams, Ryan O'Keefe, Lewis Bond. I don't really think they have enough playmakers. Like, none of those guys are, you know, what I would call super concerning, or, oh, you got to shut this guy down to take away, you know, what they're looking to try and do. You know, they're an underwhelming team, and they're on the front end of a rebuild going up against the best team in the conference and maybe the country. And so it's a rough, you know, it's a rough go for Boston College this weekend. I think, you know, we talked a little bit about what we wanted to see out of the team last year. Last week. And it was, you know, health. You wanted to see the mindset, right? You really want to see Florida State just go out and beat the heck out of this team so that Johnny, Keon, Jordan, your offensive line, your defensive line, your secondary, your linebacker where you're thin, really all of your starters can get out, not only to preserve them for injury, but you want to you want as many as your young guys to play for not only later in this year, but going forward for the future. I want those young guys in there and getting as many live reps as they possibly can, because obviously I'm not trying to overlook an entire season, but I mean, I know we're going to be good this year. I want to be good next year too. You know, I want as many of those young guys as is possible to get in and get as much playing time as possible. You know, I know Brock's a little banged up. He's probably out for a month or two after his surgery, but I mean, I want to see AJ out there as much as physically possible, man. I want him in the best possible spot to compete next year. Our running backs, man, I feel like you've got four running backs that could probably start anywhere in the country, but I want to see Keziah Holmes and CJ Campbell and Rodney Hill and, obviously Toa Fillion-Benson. I really want to see those guys get involved, those guys mix it up. Loved that Armella and some of the young guys on the offensive line got so much work last week. You know, I want to see that on the defensive line too. I love that Blake got in. I love that some of the really young guys, Conrad Hussey, almost got a pick. I want to see Destin Hill get another catch, only one on the year so far as he gets going this year. But yeah, I want to see those young guys really get in, get rocking, get rolling. And I want the starters out by halftime. I think that's a double-edged kind of benefit there. Not only are you limiting the opportunity for them to get injured, you're saving their legs. You're not having Fabian Lovett go for 50 plays or anything crazy like that. You're, doing everything you can to put yourself in the best possible situation to be as fresh as possible. As bad as Clemson has looked, I think they're going to probably roll this weekend. I think they're going to bounce back against FAU, and I think they're going to win by a lot. And I think they're going to get to rest those guys. And so I think you want to try and do as much of that as you possibly can. I'd love to see some guys in street clothes during the second half for good reasons. So anyway, other thoughts on BC, other thoughts on weather, where you want to go next after this?
Yeah, no, again, it's a game. It's crazy because 2 years ago, we would have been breaking this down to the every last aspect of this game, from special teams to, do you kick a field goal from 41 yards on fourth and three, or do you go for it? You know, that's the conversations we would have been having. But Florida State is just so far ahead of the rest of the conference right now. It's ridiculous. And that's where you want to be as a Florida State fan. And to your point, TJ, I want to see these guys get these reps. Blake Nicholson made a phenomenal play that was almost an interception last week. And, does he learn from that? And can he get a foot down inbounds next time he makes a play like that? That's the stuff I'm looking forward to. And like you said, resting these players. You know, we talked last week, I joked, is this a hangman game on the sideline? And it was, right? And Florida State wasn't even that sharp, and it was still a hangman game. So I fully expect this game to be the same. It's just, I'm always excited for Florida State football, but it's hard to get excited to break down every single stat in the nitty gritty of a game like this when we know what the outcome is going to be. If this weather was not an issue, I would be betting a lot of money on Florida State to cover, because I think Florida State's second string could potentially cover 26.5 against this Boston College team. And people might say this is disrespectful, and maybe it is, but we're Florida State. We can disrespect people. We did it for 14 straight years, finishing in the top five every single year. I'm not saying we're back to that. No team will ever do that again. I firmly believe that. That is a once-in-a-lifetime stat when it comes to final AP poll rankings for college football teams. But I'm just not concerned with BC at all. To your point, TJ, I want us to stay healthy. I don't want a wet field to turn into a sprained ankle or, God forbid, an ACL for somebody. You know, get in there, take care of business, and get out. That's all I care about this weekend. I love that the game's at noon because, I'm playing golf early Saturday morning. I'll watch the game, get a nap. Actually doing a bachelor party this weekend, so in Orlando, so it just happened to work out for me. But yeah, there's not much to say about Boston College because they really are that bad. And, we're not just being arrogant homers here, guys. Go back and watch those two games against, Holy Cross and Northern Illinois. And, TJ and I are opening ourselves up wide open to old takes exposed right now. Even a 10-point win would be an embarrassment at this point. But really, just get in there, get the win, stay healthy, and then it's Clemson. And Clemson is going to be a dogfight. We'll talk about that plenty next week. I don't think that's a game Florida State just goes and rolls them. That is Clemson's season. They're backed into a corner, but you have to take care of business this week first, and I think we will.
All right, let's give some love to Let's give some love to the tailgate. Again, if you're going to the tailgate, go hit the description. Go get your tickets. I think there's like 50 left. So hopefully you guys get them before they're all gone. Clemson limiting the number of lower level tickets next week. I might do a video on this. I might not. We'll see. But what are your thoughts? Okay, so like Clemson, let me set the scene. Clemson lowers the number of lower bowl tickets, pushes a bunch of people up toward the top, and then gets called out on it today. Some of their writers, some of their folks say that they essentially did that because when they go to other ACC opponents throughout the year, they're always stuck way up in the top. And so they're just basically doing it to be petty and get back to them. That's literally what the article that I read when Clemson announced this before the season said. I will say Florida State treats other visiting fans better than anyone else in the country. Florida actually does a really good job of it too. Both Florida and Florida State have always done a very good job of it. Miami is trash. They put people all the way up in the top. But both Florida and Florida State do a really good job of letting fans, letting the big boosters, letting the family, letting the band sit right down there on the field, right there over the visitors' tunnel. I've sat in those seats several times there at the Florida State game. And then obviously my tickets actually used to be right next to the visitor section in 119 when the band was down there on that side. I moved because I was tired of sitting next to all the other team's fans. But so I will say Florida and Florida State do a good job of that. But Clemson trying to be petty, it's obviously going to cost Florida State fans a little bit. We'll be sitting up next to God, about as high as you can, which is about sea level as far as that stadium is underground. But thoughts on Clemson booting us up to the top, Richie?
I thought it was interesting because I think the Citadel Boosters email came out today, said they normally allot about 1,300 tickets in the lower bowl for Florida State fans right by the tunnel they come out of. I've sat in those seats at Death Valley. I've sat in the very top row as well, where they're going to try and put everybody now. And, you know, I saw a couple Clemson fans making excuses, being like, oh, well, you're not bringing your band because you get one word gimme or you took them to the LSU game. Okay, well, that's 400 tickets. What about the other ones? Because there's still more tickets to be had there. I get it. Clemson's scared. Go to their message boards, guys. If you have a 247 sub, you can go read the Clemson 247 board. They are terrified of this game, and clearly their administration is. I wonder if this decision was made recently, because it's odd that Florida State boosters would send the email out like this today and not before the season when they're taking the pre-orders. It's just interesting. And I don't want to give Florida too much credit, TJ, because you know the reason why visiting teams get such great seats? It's because they basically have the whole sideline where the visiting team stands on the field with their visiting team fans. But that's because I believe it was a Tennessee game where Florida fans were just throwing stuff at players on the sideline. And Florida said, we can't have this. This is a bad look. So let's just go ahead from now on and have at least the shield of their own fans there. But they do. And like you said, Miami's terrible. Miami puts the Chiefs in the last 30 rows of the upper deck every single year we go down there. It's ridiculous. But Clemson, and it's crazy because you will not find a better fan base to go to a game on the road than Clemson. You cannot walk by a tailgate without someone offering you alcohol or food. Their fans are amazing when you go visit that stadium in that campus. But yeah, this move is just odd. I don't blame them. You know, why not? But I don't think it's going to make much of a difference in the game, especially being a noon kickoff.
Got a couple of super chats in from Venmo. So, Harlan, I'll let you throw that up there.
Fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Knowles win. Knowles win.
James just sent one in. He didn't ask for anything. James, thanks for just being a big fan. William is our leader. He sent more than James. Sorry about that, James. But how many reps do you think the young safeties will get with Dent's injury? Oh, I wrote that out wrong. It's just injury, not injuries. Let's get rid of that before you guys think I'm an idiot, which you probably already think. I expect him to get a lot, right? I think the staff really likes what they've got in some of the young guys. I mean, you saw Conrad Husky out there nearly making an interception. I really think they like what they have in both him. I like Barker a lot. I think that you'll see them get a ton. I would not play Dent in this game. I think you could probably play your entire you could probably play your entire second string, right? And be fine in this game. Linebacker might be a little bit of a worrisome thing there, but shoot, you could not play your top four defensive linemen, your top four defensive backs, and probably still be fine in this game. So yeah, I wouldn't play Dent at all. Let him continue to rest up. I haven't gotten any super confirmation, but also haven't dug a lot. It looked like a hammy. It seemed like a hammy. I'm going to call it a hamstring. You know, at this point, you know, we'll see if something else comes out on that. But yeah, I would expect him to sit out this week, and then they get back to it with him playing against Clemson. I expect the same thing for Robert Scott, Maurice Smith. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that I would expect to sit for a little bit. No, I think it's just those three. Yeah, I think Fabo is kind of 100%. So I would just limit his reps. I'd have him play like 15 or so snaps. I think that's just kind of like the smart move. But yeah, I think he's kind of fine to go. Not really risking anything. So yeah, I'd have all three of those guys sitting out this weekend. Richie, any thoughts on injuries or anything like that?
No, if anybody's even questionable, they're not going to play. If this game were against Clemson, I think you'd see all these guys, because Mike Norvell knows how big this Clemson game is, not because they're, you know, a top 10 team. Obviously, they're unranked right now, right? But because you haven't beaten them in so long, and if you want to take back this conference, you have to beat them. And if you beat them, there's a decent shot they're knocked out of Charlotte. You won't have to see them again, which is something I would not have thought heading into the season. I think sit whoever you want, TJ. To your point, you could put you or I back there and basically play 11 on 10. The offense is going to do enough to win a shootout at that point. You know, they might take their free shots. You know, Fuller would adjust to play a single safety high and just have me or you just hover in the middle of the field somewhere, but who knows? Not concerned. Rest as many guys as you can and limit as many reps as possible. Jared Verse is a guy that's, I think, is 100% and might play 20 snaps this weekend if the game is played.
Oh, it's going to get played. I hope. I'm going to be pissed off if not.
We'll get to that in a bit here in our pick six.
All right, let's get after that. The prize picks, pick six. All right, we're going to do more or less. We're going to play our game. If you guys haven't downloaded the Prize Picks app, it is Prize Picks, PrizePicks. Use our code DFNS, double fries, no slaw, DFNS. You get 100% match up to $100. Prize Picks is a ton of fun, and they are the best way to have action on games in states like Florida, Georgia, Texas, California, and 70% of the U.S. You pick more or less on each guy's stats. They're not listed yet, but if Jordan Travis is listed at 275.5 yards, do you like him to go more or less? Let's say Trey Benson's listed at 75 yards. You pick more or less on that. You compare those guys together. You compare anywhere from 2 to 6 on each deal and see how you can come out. We made some money last week. Hopefully you guys will make some money with us this week. Use Prize Picks. Use the app and the code DFNS when you sign up. Let us know what you're picking. We've got a little betting channel there in the Discord that has been a lot of fun to look at you guys' bets. So shout out the folks that are in there screenshotting and let me steal from your picks. I'm enjoying making money with you guys. What's also cool is you don't have to wait for Saturday. If you want to bet on, if you want to play some action on MLB stuff, NFL stuff that's on Thursday, whatever, you can take part in all of it. It's a lot of fun. You can mix sports. You can go, I mean, NBA is not in, but you can go LeBron James more and Jordan Travis less or whatever you want to do. So a lot of fun. But Richie, we haven't been tracking these. Next week for Clemson, we need to track and see how we've done on these three games so far. But let's get after our picks this week. What you got?
Yeah, we'll have producer Harlan go back and get these totals for us. But like TJ said, if you're watching a JV game, you know, Bethune-Cookman at Miami on a Thursday night, you know, get your picks in on that. So this will be interesting. You know, it's it's hard to get super excited about doing the picks for a game like this, but here's a couple lines for you. More or less, Florida State football games played in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts, Saturday.
I got more. I think it happens more than 0.5.
I'm going to say less. I think it gets moved to Friday or to an alternate venue. So there's our first disagreement. Thomas Castellanos, 143.5 passing yards. I'm going to say less. I just don't see any way, especially if this game, if you're right on the first one, TJ, and this game is played in Chestnut Hill, there's no way he's thrown for more than 128 yards or so.
Man, I'll go more just to be a contrarian here. But yeah, I kind of think you're right. I think that, I don't know, kind of like Southern Miss, he could get some stuff. Like, we could be up like 38-3 and he could get some stuff off. So that's probably how I see it happening. But yeah, I'll go more there just to disagree.
I may have botched this line a little bit, but we'll see what you think. Trey Benson, 14.5 carries. He has 26 on the season.
Yeah, I'll go less. In fact, we can even bet this down if you want. I'll go less than 11.5 if you want to.
All right. I'll take more than 11.5.
Okay.
So we disagreed on everything so far. I love it.
We would have agreed on 14.5. Would you have taken the more on 14?
I might have based on the weather.
Okay.
Actually, that would have been foolish.
I think they'll spread it around.
That running back room is so loaded. My goodness.
Yeah, I think they're going to spread it around so much. So.
All right, this next one is an official line from a sportsbook that does not pay us, so I will not mention their name. But first quarter points for Florida State, more or less than 9.5.
Man, this is a good line, obviously set by a good book. Not that your lines aren't good, maybe like that. But, I'll go more here. I think their defense is really bad too. And even if it's wet, and I think we get two scores in the first half. We move so fast.
First quarter.
Yeah. I still take more here. Yeah. I'll say we get at least 10 points.
Yeah. I think, you know, we talked about it as well. Every other FSU podcast and outlet I'm sure is talking about, and I'm sure Mike Norvell's bringing up these slow starts against LSU and Southern Miss. I think they come out on a mission, even if the weather's terrible. I see 14-21 points in that first quarter. So I'm not calling that my lock of the week, but damn near close to lock for me, TJ. Let's go to the not, I don't want to call it a surprise, but just the gem you found in the portal, Keon Coleman. Basically, does he get a touchdown, more or less than 0.5 touchdown receptions? Or I'll say any touchdown. It could be a punt return. It could be end around. So more or less than 0.5 touchdowns for Keon Coleman this week against Boston College.
You know, I feel like if you pick less, you're kind of just being I have a tough time separating picking less on one of these and not being like a hater. I feel like every time I pick less on one of our guys, I'm a hater. I'll say this is the first week of the year that he doesn't get a touchdown. I think we're going to run the ball a lot. I think that they're going to force feed Johnny to get the yips out of him. I think they're going to spread the ball around a ton. I don't think Keon plays much in the second half. I feel like an idiot because he'll probably go for a touchdown on the first slant that goes to him today or this weekend. But yeah, give me less here just to try and game the system a little.
All right. I'm going to say zero receiving touchdowns, but on one of his first two punt returns, if he's back there, he's going to take it to the house. So
ooh,
I know that's a bold shot, bold prediction, but I'm going to go with it. And the last one, Jordan Travis, incompletions, 6.5, TJ.
Yeah, I'm going to go more here. Again, not trying to be a hater, and I might kind of get screwed here if we just don't throw the ball very much, but that's a good line. I don't know. Actually, I lied. Give me less. I'll believe that he gets things kind of cleaned up this week. Less drops, less pass attempts. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he, you know, if I'm thinking about it now, I wouldn't be shocked if he only threw the ball 15 times. And if that's the case, I don't think he's going to have 7 incompletions of his 15 throws. And then I bump it up to 18. Is he going to have 7 incompletions of 18? I mean, maybe that's a little closer, but I still like him to be a little more accurate than that. I think if he throws the ball more than 20 times, that might be where it kind of comes into play. But I'm going to go less there.
Yeah, I'm going to go less as well. I was thinking, you know, something like 14 for 20 is kind of where my thought process was. But if the weather's bad, to your point, TJ, it may only be 17, 18 attempts at that point. If you're, you know, 11 for 18, that's not good. That means you have some drops or some really bad throws. Jordan's too good for that. I'll join you on the less for that one.
All right, let's do this. What's your score prediction? Harlan, text me one for you too. Let's do a score for this, and then let's call it an early night. Let's get the heck out of here.
Yeah, and again, it's so tough because of the weather. You don't know what, you know, the most likely scenario is the game gets played as scheduled on time in Chestnut Hill. But there is going to be rain. There's going to be wind. I think that impacts it a little bit. I think Mike Norvell isn't looking to prove any points here. You know, I think he just wants to get in and out. But Florida State could run for 400 yards in this game. Give me Florida State 45, Boston College 10.
I'll go, yeah, something I like that. Oh, got a field goal in there for Fitzy. Fitzy, shout out Fitz. Perfect.
Has missed all
so
season. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably just jinxed him for saying that, but the Battle's End said it first. So, hey, if you're not signed up for the battle, if you want a prediction, if you're not signed up for the Battle's End, go sign up and support for our NIL, which is top five in the country, just like our team and our recruiting class. TheBattlesEnd.com. Make sure you go support there. Yeah, give me I got them scoring something late. So, yeah, they've got 13, and we've got I'm not going to go with the field goal. I'm going to go 49 right. to 13 is my final. Harlan's got 55 to 10. 55 to 10 for Harlan. I want to tell you, last week I had 55 to nothing. And we won 66 to 13, so I was only 3 points off. So I want to pat myself on the back there a little bit. 55 to 10 for Harlan. What was mine? I just forgot mine. 49 to 13.
49 13, yep.
All right, cool. 49 13, the Noles win. I think we're going for the sweep here, and then we'll have a good time talking about Clemson for all of next week. Maybe we'll have a Clemson video that even comes out tomorrow talking about them being – chicken chance. All right, Richie, you got any shout outs or anything before we get out of here?
Shout out my buddy Pat. He got married in 2020. We're celebrating. We're doing his bachelor party this weekend. He was living in DC and had 3 weddings canceled because of COVID and restrictions and all that nonsense. So we said, screw it. We're just going to go out and do it anyway. Got some golf. We're playing at Orange County National, where Brooks Koepka just won the Live Orlando a few months back. The same exact course. Some Fogo de Chao lined up, an Orlando City game in a private box. So shout out my buddy for that.
Rough life you've got over there, my man. So yeah, just safety and I don't have a shout out, but safety, weather related. If you're watching this, if you're in the path of the storm, if you're traveling at all, if you're going to be up in Boston, if you live up in that area and you're tuned in watching this because you wanted to see more about Florida State because you're a Boston College fan or just whatever. I don't know if Boston College fans exist. I don't mean to offend you with a hurricane coming at you, but you know, safety, prayers up, follow your local ordinances and guidelines from leadership, because certainly we take football pretty seriously, but life, health, and all of that stuff certainly means more. So, all right, make sure that you're subscribed. The numbers don't lie. About 60% of you that are watching right now are not subscribed. Do me a quick favor. Hit that button. Help us to grow. We will be back with more content throughout this week. I don't know that we'll go live on Friday. I'm going to be up in Tallahassee the next 2 days. So don't know that we'll go live on Friday, but hit the subscribe button. We'll go live again soon, and then we will certainly have a little fun on Saturday afternoon after the Noles pick up a win to get to 3-0. Thank you guys all for hanging out. Richie, Harlan, thank you, boys. Love y'all. Go Noles.